horticulturist. I love helping people with their landscapes. You can give us a call today. This whole hour is all about your gardening calls, and we will love to help you. Lizzie is here waiting to take your phone call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And Debbie from Tallahassee has a really good question, so I'm going to be helping her out. Lizzie, we did, okay, so you did look at my picture of the lawn shrimp, and yes, it does look like a shrimp.
Yes.
Okay.
It really does. It does, but it's ugly.
It's ugly. Lawn prawns.
I love that.
Lawn prawns.
And lawn hoppers.
And lawn hoppers. Yeah. And so that's really cool. But we do have, speaking of dirty word of the day, our dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is nastic movements. Nastic movements. And the suffix comes from the Greek word anasho, the condition of being pressed upon. So in biology, nastic movements are non-directional responses to stimuli, either temperatures, humidity, light, that occur more rapidly than geotropism or phototropism, and is usually associated with plants. The movement can be due to the changes in the internal pressure within plant cells. They decrease in a decrease in internal pressure causes the cells to shrink, while increase in internal pressure brings about swelling. Nastic movements differ from tropism movements in that the direction of the tropic responses depends on the direction of the stimulus, whereas the direction of nastic movements is independent of the stimulus's position. So the rate of frequency of these responses increases as the intensity increases. An example is a response in the opening and closing of flowers, which is called photonastic response, movement of towards the source of light. So these responses are all named with the suffix nasty, hence my dirty word of the day. And they have prefixes that depend on the stimuli. So epinasty is the downward bending from the growth at the top of a plant, for example, the bending down of a heavy flower, like a sunflower. Hyponasty is the upward bending of leaves from the growth in the leaf stalk. Photonasty is response to light. Nyctanasty, which has been a dirty word of the day before, is movements at night or in the dark. Chemonasty is response to chemicals or nutrients. Hydronasty is response to water. Then we have thermonasty, response to temperature. So if you're getting kind of like these hot flashes and everything, you can say that your body's experiencing thermonasty, right? And seismonasty is response to shock. Geonasty is response to gravity. And thigmonasty is response to touching.
Nasty. Dirty words. I'm literally, in my head, I'm like, whenever you said that, I'm like, is this like a new dance that we're supposed to learn?
No. And so 1-888-455-2967. If you're in the garden area, we take your phone calls. And also to 23680 is the text.
Okay. Did you see where they're talking about changing the state bird?
Yes. They've been trying to do that for some years. They don't want the mockingbird. The mockingbird is fine, and it's a really hardworking bird. Mockingbirds have beautiful songs. And they're all up and down the East Coast. They're not specific to Florida. But they want to make it the American flamingo.
Okay.
And this is just new. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission, back around 2018, has researched it. And they do say that flamingos are native to Florida, the Caribbean, and South America. So we just haven't seen a large population since they were decimated in the 19th and early 20th century, when we were going for those feathers, sadly. And so the American flamingo. But I'm kind of pushing for the American or the Florida scrub jay.
Okay.
I like the Florida Scrub Jay.
Yeah, because I know Representative Jim Moody, he's actually already put in for the 2026 session for them to change it to the American Flamingo. But I agree. I mean, I get that the whole flamingos in Florida and la, la, la. But to me, like, flamingos is like South Florida. That's not even the whole state. But like you said, the Scrub Jay is the state of Florida.
Right, it is. And in particular, and it does need to have protection and environment. It's an environmental concern, which, of course, the American flamingos, too. But there's plenty of those. But, you know, you see the pink flamingos everywhere, so it's not necessarily a bad idea. Mm-hmm. You see them in the lotto. And also, you know, anytime you mention Florida, you think of flamingos. So
this is true. I mean, I get it, because that's, you know, that's what Representative Mooney had actually stated. His comment was, it's palm trees and flamingos. And that's his quote.
And I love to see them. And have you seen the spoonbill? The Florida spoonbill, that's really a cool bird too.
Yes.
And they can be slightly pink too. They're white, but you can't see them pink. And there's a really cool to see in the wild. And so we love that. So 1-888-455-2967. This is your chance to call. We'd love to hear from you. 23680. Debbie, I'm coming. So we'll get to Debbie in Tallahassee's text message right away. And when we get back, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-340-5510. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-340-5510. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-340-5510.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Make your garden come alive with Quality Green Specialists. Discover Quality Green's beautiful nursery with thousands of fruit trees, fruiting plants, flowers, herbs, and vegetables. Enjoy an explosion of color and see amazing results in your garden. Quality Green has the very best in organic-based, sustainable products to grow everything super productive, strong, and healthy. Quality Green Specialists, 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Conveniently open 9 to 4 daily. Online at qualitygreenspecialist.com.
It's almost time for National Voter Registration Day. Join in celebrating democracy and the right to vote on Tuesday, September 16th. No matter your political views, National Voter Registration Day is a chance to get yourself, your family, your friends, and community vote ready for election 2025. With federal, state, and local races coming up, your voice can make a difference up and down the ballot. For more information, visit NationalVoterRegistrationDay.org. That's NationalVoterRegistrationDay.org.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-961-1527. That's 800-961-1527.
800-961-1527. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Garden. This is second hour. If you missed anything in the first hour, you can go and listen to it on iHeartRadio, the podcast. Anywhere where you listen to podcasts, you can hear Better Lawns and Gardens. But yeah, it's posted as soon as the show's over on iHeartRadio. And then on Audioboom, Spotify, wherever you listen to it.
Yeah, Better Lawns and Gardens is betterlawns.com is probably the best way to find us.
Yes.
Everywhere. Because I already posted the first hour.
Excellent. So, yeah. Oh, good. So, I can go back and listen.
There you go.
All right. 1-888-455-2967. But let's go to Debbie in Tallahassee's question. Excuse me. 3 weeks out, she says, 3-week-old container summer squash is infested with whiteflies. She's done 5 applications of neem-based spray on leaves and top layer of soil. Should she persist or discard and start over? Okay, so let me just see. Okay, so you've had them for 3 weeks and you've done it. You've sprayed the neem 5 times. Wow. So one, I would find out why you have the white flies. Do you have it in full sun, the plants in full sun? Do they have good air circulation? They're not too close together. Also, two, are you spraying the bottom of the leaves, Debbie? Do you want to spray the top and the bottom, the stem, and the ground? Now, also, two, sometimes you just want to change the plant. And so when should you discard? I would just wait to see if you still have the white flies. But if you do, I would take them out and I would plant something totally different. You don't want anything in the squash family, pumpkins, melons. You don't want anything like that. I would put in either peas or lettuce. You want a totally different type of vegetable to put there. Okay. And even a tomato would be fine. Okay, and then that way, that's going to break that cycle of the vegetable getting the white flies. And so just rotating your vegetables. So if you keep growing summer squash in the same location every year, then it's going to be more susceptible to insects. That's why you rotate vegetables. And if you'd like to have a rotation schedule for your vegetables, just contact me through betterlawns.com. I will send it to you, what you should rotate, what you should plant each season. And that's going to be a much healthier landscape for you. Okay, Debbie, so just kind of think about how you're doing it. To spray it 5 times in 3 weeks, that's quite a bit.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Because you're supposed to wait 5 days in between applications. And 5 times in 3 weeks, it's kind of a lot.
Murka.
Yeah, I don't want you to nuke your lawn. So not that it's the plant's suffering, but it just may be too much and it could be stressing the plants out too and getting the white flies. It's not doing the job.
And it's okay, Debbie, because I've done the same thing. So, but don't. we both will stop doing that. Yes, definitely.
1-888-455-2967. If you're in the garden area, we would love to talk to you. Or you can text us at 23680. All right, and do that. So I just want to say the Art and Bloom Garden Tours that we do for traveling to all these beautiful gardens in the country and internationally. We do have our Philadelphia Flower Show up right now. You can register for that. And also our Revolutionary Garden Tour. You can register for that.
Yes.
And you can register or be put on a waiting list for all of our tours. And if you go to artandbloomgardentours.com, you can see them and download the registration form. And we would love to have you and have a great time.
Yes,
we're heading out to New York this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And if something that you are interested in and wanting to know the prices and the cost, go ahead and do this now. Because when I tell you those tours sell out immediately, they sell out immediately. So
they
definitely
do. And they're going to this year. It's just going to be just a phenomenal year. The Philadelphia Flower Show is going to be gorgeous. It always changes its theme. But world-famous landscape designers do displays, and there's so many beautiful plants. And we're going to beautiful Longwood Gardens and Winterthur Gardens. These are just amazing palatial estates, and they're just going to be beautiful. It's going to be in springtime, so you'll be able to see the tulips and also the daffodils. And so I'm looking forward to that. And then also, too, you're going to get to meet Frederick Law Olmsted, which is always a favorite of mine. He's a landscape architect from the 18th century that created Central Florida, not Central Florida, the Central Park in New York and the park system throughout the northern, east, northeast in Pennsylvania and New York. Just a wonderful, wonderful parks. And Frederick Law Olmsted is portrayed by Kirk Brown, and he is just phenomenal. So it's going to be just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful trip. And then we're going to be celebrating 250 years of the American Revolution. United States is going to be 250 years old, and we are doing a Revolutionary Garden tour.
Love
which is going
that.
To, yes, it's going to be very exciting. Going to all the Monticello, Mount Vernon, and then all these homes that are older than 250 years with their garden. So it's just going to be an incredible tour.
I'm excited.
So we're looking for,
you. For
that. Thank you. Let's go to Brenda in Polk City. Good morning, Brenda. How can I help you?
Good morning. Yes, I have a question about my amaryllis.
Yes.
I have a lot of pods of amaryllis around. And once they get through blooming and their leaves are still growing, then they start to bend over. And do I trim those back or?
So the leaves bend over, Brenda, or the stems?
Yes, the leaves.
The leaves.
After you do, the stems are gone.
Right. No, you want to keep the leaves. You don't have to prune them back here in Florida at all. You can just grow them just the way you they just grow naturally in Florida. Very easy. There's no need to prune them at all. They will bloom continuously every year. So, or not continuously, but they'll bloom every year on a regular basis. So, yeah, no need to cut them. They're very low maintenance.
Okay, so I don't need to do anything with the bulbs or anything. Just keep them right where they're at.
No, are you from up north?
No,
you're from Florida. Okay, not need to dig them out of the ground. Now, over like every 2 to 3 years, they're going to get really a lot of amaryllis. The bulbs are going to multiply, and if you want to go ahead and divide them up and move them so you have them in different areas or in different pots, you can do that this time of the year. You can go ahead and do that.
Okay. Is it better for them to be in full sun all the time?
Yes, full sun for amaryllis, definitely.
Okay,
they will bloom much better for you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, Brenda. I appreciate your call. So that's wonderful. It's a great... Amaryllis are very easy to grow, and there are so many different colors of them. They come in white with pink throats, pink. Then also they have the deep reddish orange, and then they have the deep red. Amaryllis are just gorgeous, and
yes,
they do bloom lovely here in Florida. So they're a really, really, really great plant. Okay, so... let's see. I want to make sure, again, Quality Green Specialist in DeLand. You can get custom organic soils just for your yard. Dana and his crew will make that for you. You can get the Azomite Mineralizer, which is very important. You know, we talk about fertilizing with nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, but it's also the minor nutrients, minor elements that they need, and the Azomite is perfect for that. And I'm telling you, if you want to get your landscape going gangbusters, adding the Azomite will do the job. It will be incredible. You'll see the difference within 2 months. You'll see the difference. They also have the organic and nature-based fertilizers. Dana's very big on that. They also have beautiful olive trees and fruit trees, that native and non-native fruit trees, so you can get some wonderful fruit trees. Then they have ornamental plants. They can test your soil, and they just have really good advice. You know, so when you go there, they're open 7 days a week. They're right there on 335 West Michigan Avenue, and they're open daily 9 to 4.
And the crazy part is that I never, this is going to sound so stupid, I don't even know why I opened my mouth, but anyway, I never knew you could grow olive trees in Florida until I started working here and I met Dana, and Dana's like, oh, no, 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 you can grow olive trees
and
here.
Just one type of olive tree. He's got like six different varieties, the Greek olive trees, the Turkish olive trees, just different varieties, and I've never heard of them before. And they do produce olives.
And that's a quality green specialist in D-Land. So go see Dana and ask him about the olive trees.
Yeah, he'll tell you all about them. And they've got beautiful pollinator plants, and they've got beautiful orchids and an orchid trail. And you'll get to get Seminole pumpkins. If you're looking for Seminole pumpkins, they have those too as well. So I love seeing that. All right, so September, what can you be doing in the landscape? We can't fertilize just yet, so hold off on fertilizing. You can't do it. We'll have to wait till October 1st, but you want to walk your yard on a regular basis. This is one of my mantras that you'll hear me say a lot if you're new to Better Lawns and Gardens, is that walking your yard on a weekly basis is very, very important. You will catch a problem before a major problem just devastates your whole yard. So you're going to be looking at the leaves, underneath the leaves, look to see if anything's eating them. Or if you're seeing spots or disease issues in your lawn right now, fall armyworms are going to be taking over chinch bugs, mole crickets, and sod webworms. So if you're walking through your lawn, just go ahead and walk through it just very slowly. If you see a cloud of white moths coming up, you have a problem. You have either sod webworms or the fall armyworm that's getting ready to be an issue. All right. And so you need to take action when you see the moths. Now, the moths aren't doing the damage, but they are laying eggs, and the larva from those eggs is what's going to eat your roots. Okay. We're having a serious issue with chinch bugs. Go back and listen to last week's show if you want to know more about it. Chinch bugs are becoming very resistant to chemicals. So what can you do in your lawn? How do you take care of your lawn so it's less stressed? Because the more stressed your lawn is, the more susceptible to insects and disease it's going to be. You want to make sure you are not overwatering. So I went to a house last week that the irrigation shutoff device, Lizzie, was underneath the eave of the house, underneath the bushes. Their irrigation is going to go on all the time. Amazing. So if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Got a text message from Nora in Oviedo, and she has critters eating her amaryllis bulbs. Lizzie, what do you think she has?
Deer?
No, no. It is the dreaded and horrible, horrible lubber grasshoppers.
Oh, yuck.
So she's got to look for those grasshoppers, and she's got to kill them. And I will tell you, they'll defoliate your plants, in your garden. And right now, they're laying eggs for next year. So if you see these long, rainbow-colored yellow and orange and red grasshoppers, when I say long, they're about 5 inches, 6 inches long.
Easily.
And I will tell you, you know, the best way to get them is to stomp on them. And when you see one, there are two. So look for the other one. They lay their eggs next to your amaryllis. So, Nora, you may not be able to kill them all this year, but next year, those grasshoppers that have eaten your amaryllis leaves, they've already laid their eggs. And so you're going to want to, next year, around March, start looking for the babies to hatch, and that's when you need to get rid of them. So I'll be on special alert because lubber grasshoppers have no souls. None whatsoever. So you can kill them with no problem whatsoever. They are just horrible. They're horrible. So I just wanted to say hi to Diane Malensky. She's a wonderful listener of Better Lawns and Gardens. Want to give her a shout out. Also, Mike and Lori, big shout out to you guys. David in Port St. Lucie, and also Lois in Port St. Lucie. Thank you very much for being great listeners. They just send me little notes and text messages and says hi. So I just want to say hi back. Thank you so much. So again, this is September. What should you be doing? Well, I will tell you, this is speaking of fruits and vegetables. Set your tomatoes in the ground. You can do that now and start to train them to a trellis. You want to make sure, especially, the indeterminate tomatoes varieties, you want to put on a trellis. Also, too, tomatoes need to be watered on a consistent basis. Now, I don't mean that they need to be watered a lot. They just need to be watered so that their soil doesn't go from flooded to very dry. You just want it to be consistently moist because that's going to keep them from getting blossom end rot. So blossom end rot, you know, a lot of people think that it's because it's calcium deficient. And so they'll put shells in the tomatoes, or they'll add calcium to the soil. But it's more about that when it doesn't have consistent water, it can't absorb the calcium. It can't use the calcium. So putting calcium in a tomato that has blossom end rot is not going to help it. It's going to help that you water it on a consistent basis, that it stays moist. It doesn't get too wet, doesn't get too dry. How do you do that? Stick your finger in the ground or in the pot. And if the pot is cool, moist, or damp, you do not need to water. If you're thinking about if you need to water your lawn, your turf, walk across it and then turn around and look. If you need to water, you'll see your footprints in the lawn. It doesn't have the hydration to pop back up again. Okay? And so that means you need to water it. Your turf will turn a bluish color. That means you need to water it. If your turf is not nice and green, it's lush, you do not need to irrigate it, okay? And that's very important, because the more you irrigate it, the more susceptible you're going to be to dollar weed. If you have dollar weed, this is going to be, you see dollar weed in your landscape, that is a sign that you either live near the lake, you have compacted soils, or you are overwatering.
I feel attacked, to be honest with you, by you saying that, because I have a lot of dollar weed randomly in spots, and I'm like, wow, look at that. It's pretty. Why is that there? So yeah. I feel very attacked.
So, there you go. I'm so sorry. So what about, the soils, you don't live near a lake, though, do you?
Why are you going to bring up old stuff? Yes. Yeah, no, we don't.
No, okay. And so, but the rain, you could just have the conditions that low-lying areas.
We
so
do.
If your area's low, then there's nothing you're going to be able to do. That's not your fault. Okay?
Yeah. And well, I guess what it is, I mean, because of growth and everybody building all around us now. I mean, we never had dollar weed before, but that makes sense because we do now. I'm seeing spots where it's holding water that we never had water before.
And that's
before. Because
the water hasn't got... I so agree with you. Development is one of the reasons why we're seeing issues with the water. It doesn't have anywhere to go.
Correct.
And that's a big problem. But I think of you as being in the country, but you can still have low-lying areas in the country.
Yeah.
So that's just... And I will tell you, in Lake Nona and out in places like Celebration, that is a swamp.
Oh.
You can dig down 2 feet and hit water.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In a development.
Oh, wow.
In a development. And so, but that's even more important than to be aware that you don't need to irrigate.
Okay. Yes, definitely.
So if you're in an area that is kind of swamp, like Disney was built on a swamp.
Yes.
And so that water gets pushed out. It has nowhere to go except, up. And so,
or in your neighbor's yard,
or in your neighbor's yard, yes,
exactly. Which is what's happening to us.
Yes, so don't feel attacked. I'm so sorry.
It's just so funny that you brought it up, and you're just like, "Look, you must have water somewhere." And I'm like, "She's talking to me."
but people come to Florida and they go, "It's hot. We need to water a lot." And I'm telling everybody, there is no reason to be watering as much. Yeah, that's why it's a state law mandatory that you have a rain shutoff device on your irrigation system. And I was just in a home in Seminole County, Oviedo, that they live in a community, a nice, lovely community, but they do not have a shutoff device on their irrigation in this community. And the majority of homes didn't. And it's a state law. It's going to save you so much money to not use your irrigation system. Why? I don't know why people don't want to do it. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, this is Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
The following.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967. I won't yell at you. Just call and ask a question. I will be very calm and not say anything about your water.
Now, anybody who's just now listening and not catching on to what she's saying, before we ended the last segment, she started off with, "I don't know why you wouldn't do that." Oh, by the way, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. We'll be back in just a moment. She was talking about the rain sensor on the sprinkler systems. Why wouldn't you do that?
Well, I will tell you, they only cost, I say that, but you can get them for about $50, and it will save you literally hundreds of dollars a year in water bills. So I can't understand it. But then you can also get the remote control ones. I mean, you can spend a couple of $100 with the remote control that you can control your irrigation from where you are up north in Florida here, that have weather stations on them that say, "Nope, we're not going to water tomorrow because the next day you're going to get rain." And so they're just really, really.
And I'll also explain that just because it just starts to sprinkle doesn't mean that it's going to shut off automatically.
Right. You have to get a certain amount. So your rain shutoff device should be set for 1 inch of water. Mm-hmm. So if you don't get 1 inch of water, your rain shutoff, your irrigation will come on, and that's good. But if you've got an inch, and I will tell you, during the summertime, the state of Florida gets between 1 inch and 5 inches of water a week. And we haven't had any storms this year, but when we have storms, it's even more than that.
And if something happens and you wanted to kind of test it by sprinkling your hose or whatnot, mm-hmm. and it still doesn't shut off and you can see and it's filled, then maybe the cork, is that what you said?
Yeah, you have to replace it. It is a piece of equipment. So if you have not touched your rain shutoff device in a year, then you need to look at it, maybe replace it. But that cork dries out. There's different things that can go wrong. And sometimes it gets shut off. And I will tell you, sometimes landscapers shut it off. Oh. And you don't want to do that. So this is the time of the year. So look at your pineapple plants. Okay, pineapple plants are in the bromeliad family. And so they may have pups on them. That's the new bromeliads coming after they have bloomed. And you can cut those off and start new pineapples. But also, too, when you're shopping for bromeliads, I saw beautiful bromeliads in St. Augustine this week in two different nurseries. One of them was Southern Landscape Nurseries, and the other one was Lenardi's Nurseries. Beautiful, beautiful plants at both nurseries, and lots of great planters and all different kinds of plants. I could have gone crazy there. But they had beautiful bromeliads, but they had already finished blooming. So how do you tell if a bromeliad has bloomed? Well, those colorful bracts, and most people think those are the flowers, those reds and oranges and yellows and then pink, those are the flowers. They're not. Those are actually modified leaf bracts, and they're leaves that change color. The flowers come from those bracts. And if you're looking at the bromeliad, look in between the bracts and see if you see anything that's dead, like little small dead flowers. And if you see that dead, then that bromeliad has already bloomed. And I, depending on what I need the bromeliad for, may not purchase it. But if it's got the bracts and there's nothing dead on the inside of those red and yellow and orange and pink bracts, then it hasn't bloomed yet and you can go for it and it'll keep growing for about 2 to 3 years. Now, if it has bloomed already, you still may want it because they produce pups. Look at the bottom in the pot and see if there's more bromeliads coming up. And you may get a bromeliad, purchase a bromeliad that has 3 to 5 pups on it. And that's where you get your bang for your buck. And you can do it that way. But just know that once a bromeliad blooms, then it's going to decline. And it's going to take about 3 to 6 months. And the leaves are going to start to turn brown. But the pups should come up and replace it. Okay? So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Have a few minutes left. We have Robin, who is...
Are you there?
Yeah, Robin, I'm here.
She's in Tally.
Okay, I don't know why I'm getting a lot of static, but anyway, I was telling Lizzie I love listening to your show. I've been listening to it ever since I found you, I don't know, a few years ago. But I live up in Wakulla County, and a lot of people can't say the word Wakulla. They say Wakulla,
yes.
And then they say, well, anyway, there's a lot of nicknames for this county. But anyway, I live in Oak Tree City, and I have these beautiful red oaks, and I was kind of curious, is like, how many species of them are there, and how long do they live? And I've had to take a lot of them out, and a lot of them have started dying. And then I have water oaks and live oaks, and we're talking about 120-foot trees.
Yes.
And then all the garbage that they drop.
Right. Well,
I'm constantly picking up all that stuff.
No. And in fact, in Florida, oak trees, they drop their leaves twice a year. So they'll do it in the fall, and then they'll do it again in the springtime, which is okay if you like the mulch. But oak trees can live a long time. They usually live, the red oaks and the live oaks, and then there's white oaks. They usually live between 70 to 100 years. Now,
that's what I thought.
Yeah, so why you're seeing some of them die is because they're literally that old and that they're at the end of their life. So this is a good time to replant oak trees. And so that when we had that big boom during the 50s to the 40s and 50s and 60s, there was a lot of oak trees planted then that are starting to decline now, especially the laurel oaks. Laurel oaks will only live about 40 to 60 years, and so we'll see some of them die. But I think that you have a lot of oak trees is wonderful. I love that you call it Oak Tree City, and that's beautiful. But they're a little bit of maintenance.
Yeah, I have a lot of, where I'm at, I'm kind of like southwest of the airport up here.
Uh-huh.
And so I have a lot of planes coming over. So I'm like, yeah, whatever's coming out of the planes is killing my trees. But anyway.
That's not it.
I just called to say, I love listening to your show. I told Lizzie, I said, I love hearing about your turkey adventures. I want to hear some more about the turkey.
We will do that. We've got it coming up in our newsletter, and we love to have Lizzie. You should see this, Robin. You should see the pictures of her with the turkey sitting on her lap.
It's crazy.
Like pets.
Oh my gosh. I once had goats and chickens, and you would go outside, and the goats, they were little African pygmy goats, and you'd sit down, and they'd jump right up in your lap, and you're like, what?
That's my life with my turkeys, and it's so funny because people come over, and they're just like, the automatic response to turkeys is like being around geese. They're like, get away, I'm scared. And I'm like, well, I get it. But I'm like, no, trust me, like, especially hashtag spare Gerald. He loves for you to rub his chest. He loves it. But he looks mean, and he has his plume out all the time, and he looks like he could attack you. But if you really look at him, he's actually smiling.
He's strutting his stuff.
Oh, he is, always.
He's strutting his stuff. Oh. Well, it's lovely to talk to you, Robin. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm going to let you go. Bye-bye.
I love hearing from the listeners. That's wonderful. Yes. We love the Tallahassee. And I will tell you, oak trees are native to that part of the area. But they do decline. They're not going to live forever. But, you know, it's just important that you want to make sure that you're having them seen to by an arborist. Don't take them down if it's not necessary. Just make sure that you do it correctly. Oh. And sometimes people can, you know, cause a tree to decline much earlier than it needs to because they cut it improperly.
There you go. Exactly. And oaks are just a blessing for the next generation. So exactly. Like our generation, like we got to see the most beautiful ones, but then yes. The ones that are now growing, every generation gets a beautiful oak.
I love to see oak trees in pastures along with the cabbage palms. It's just so Florida to
and
me.
Some cattle out there.
Cattle and a little bit of moss.
Yes,
and
it's sunlight.
Lovely. And those cows keep that oak tree trimmed just, you know, 5 feet, 6 feet above the ground.
Facts.
And so they're all trimmed lovely, but they're live oaks and they're just gorgeous. And to me, that's the epitome of Florida and just
beautiful Florida sunset. Yes. I mean, people say palm trees, but I'm telling you, a nice oak out in a pasture with some cows.
But you only see one palm tree or two or three. You just see a little grouping of them and then the water. So it's just been great. So what else? We've got a few minutes right here. Let me get this going here. So indoor plants. I came home from Scotland to my African violets having fungal gnats in them. And so make sure that you're using the Summit Responsible Solutions mosquito bits. I had to go get some and put them in. Right now, you want to reduce feeding and watering your Christmas and holiday cactus. So we have Thanksgiving cactus, we have Christmas cactus, and we have Easter cactuses. Stop watering them, reduce it. Don't feed them anymore, and they'll start to produce flowers.
Again, I'm attacked.
Thank you so much to Dana, Quality Green Specialist, Black Cow, Summit Responsible Solutions for being great sponsors of Better Lawns and Gardens. Thank you, Lizzie. You've just been awesome.
Thank you.
If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed any of the show or you want to recap, go to betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com, and you can catch all the episodes there.